present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Another Mother for Ozzy.
Jimmy Clitheroe, you'll apologise to Mr. Higginbottom and you'll stop telling all these lies.
But, Mum, I thought it was true. I mean, Mrs. Higginbottom has gone away from home, hasn't she?
Yes, but she's only gone to Wigan, not Australia.
Your Ozzy will be disappointed. I told him he'd probably be getting a kangaroo for Christmas.
There you are. He needs a good belting. Spreading nasty rumours about me and the missus. Every time I show me face in the street, people start sniggering.
No wonder with your clock.
What?
It's behind the clock. The letter. I'm just going to post it for me grandad.
Never mind the letter. Who told you about Mrs. Higginbotham leaving home?
The vicar at Sunday school.
The vicar told you?
Well, he didn't exactly tell me. He was telling my teacher and I accidentally dropped my hymn book near this keyhole, you see.
I might have known.
Listen, Clitheroe, the next time you do any earwigging, make sure you get the facts right. My wife's gone to Wigan to her sister's to meet her brother who's home on holiday from Australia. She's not chucked me for a sheep farmer in Wagga Wagga.
What?
How dare you, Jimmy?
Oh, yes. Come in, Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh, dar, Pat. I wanted to catch Higgy, and I saw his taxi outside your house.
Oh, that's all right, Florrie. Come in and sit down.
No, I won't stop. I've brought Higgy a few buns. Jimmy told me about his wife being away.
I hope you didn't believe all those lies, Florrie.
Lies? Well, Jimmy said he'd gone to Wigan to her sister's to meet her brother from Australia.
Oh, did he?
Yes, I told you the truth, didn't I, Florrie? I mean, Mrs. Butterworth.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen the brother.
What did the brat say about the wife's brother?
Well, he may be coming from Australia, but I'm sure he wouldn't be covered with paint with a bone through his nose.
Oh, heck, I'd forgotten that.
What a description. It reminded me of a woman I knew on the stage, Fatima the Flaming Fire Eater. She used to cover herself with shoe polish and wear a leopard skin. Well, one night she was swallowing a fire, she hiccuped, and a spark flew out of her mouth right onto her leopard skin. Well, she was just going to whip it off, when what do you think happened?
Jimmy, the envelope behind the clock.
I've got it, Grandad. I'll write all this down on the back.
Oh, it was a scream. Well, if they hadn't sprayed her with that fire extinguisher, she'd have been arresting for moving while...
Jimmy! It's time to go and post that letter.
What? I missed the last bit of the joke?
Well, perhaps it's just as well, Jimmy. Well, I'll be off now.
So will I. And you watch it, young Clitheroe.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be very careful from now on.
You'd better be. From now on, if you put a foot wrong, I'll cut it off.
I'll see that it doesn't cause any more trouble.
Aye, and I'll see you in the Rose and Crown tonight, Higgy.
Well, come on, Higgy. I want a word with you in private. Ta-ta, everybody.
Ta-ta, Mrs. Butterworth. Nice to have seen you again, Mr. Higginbottom.
Belt up. Come on, Mrs. Now then, what is it, Mrs. Butterworth?
Oh, Florrie to you. Hey, listen, your boss has been on the phone to me again.
Who, Mr. Whiteside?
Yes, handsome Harry Whiteside. Taxi proprietor, man about town, bachelor gay, and man of extreme good taste.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, he fancies me, doesn't he?
So it seems. Is he after another date?
Yes, tonight, I think. He's going to let me know definitely after tea.
Well, you've done a good thing there. I mean, he's single, lives in that big house, owns a fleet of a dozen taxis, and he's got money to burn.
And I'm just the one to start a bonfire.
He'll have his hands full if ever he marries you. You're a rum cup of cocoa, no mistake. Hey, did he say where he were taking you?
Ah, yes, to that posh country club outside town. Well, he'll meet me there. One of his taxis will call for me.
Oh, I expect that'll be me. He said he might be wanting me for a special job tonight.
Well, I'll let you know after he phones me.
Ah, well then, I'll look forward to changing into my best clobber and whipping you up to the country club.
Who's that in the door? Alfie, is that you and our Susan snogging?
No, it's me and Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh, well, don't mind me. Carry on snogging.
Jimmy, don't you go round telling stories about me and Mr. Higginbottom. We're just good friends.
Yes, just remember that.
Oh, I'll remember. I'll tie a knot in me hanky.
You do that. Because if I hear you spreading any more gossip, I'll tie a knot in your windpipe.
Jimmy Clitheroe, would you mind telling me why I'm standing here cold and wet outside Ingebottom's back door?
That's easy. We didn't get any answer at the front door.
Oh, look, what have we come to Higginbottom's for?
I've told you. He left those buns behind at our house, and my mum said I've got to see you get some.
Ah, well, we've knocked and knocked, and he didn't answer. Well, what are we going to do?
Wait a minute. Let me feel under the mat. Oh, yes. Here it is.
What's that, a key?
Yeah, I remember Ozzy telling me, when Mr. Higginbottom goes to the pub and he's late back, his wife leaves this key under the mat.
You mean for Mr. Higginbottom?
No, for the dustman who fetches him home on his cart.
Hey, that's a good one. Old Higgy coming home from the pub on a dust cart.
Yes, with all the other rubbish. Oh, look, I can't reach the lock. You open the door for me.
Yeah, right, yeah, Jimmy. Hey, with all the other rubbish, I like that.
Now, find the light switch. It's on the left somewhere.
Ooh, like it's dark. Yep, I'll just feel along the wall. Hey, what's that horrible smell?
It can't be Ozzy. Is it his auntie's?
Yeah, I am. Mrs. Higginbottom's away in Wigan.
Yes, that only leaves Higgy, the old bear.
Yeah, now, just shut up while I find the switch.
Got you. What's going on?
He's here, Jimmy. Mr. Bear. We didn't know you were in your dustbin. You kidding?
Where's the light? That's better. Now, what's the idea of breaking in here? And it'd better be a good story, or I'll belt you one.
Right, tell him, Alfie.
Well, you see, you left your buns at Jimmy's and we tried your door and came round to the back because that's where the dustman keeps the key to bring in when he's drunk.
Eh?
I mean, we wanted to leave your buns in a safe place and we came in the kitchen in the dark, but we knew where we were because it smelled something horrible in it. I mean,
I've just been cooking Ozzy a meal.
Oh, now we know what the smell is, don't we, Alfie?
Look, I burnt some fat on the gas ring.
What's Ozzy having with it, chips?
Now, part your hair with that rolling pin in a minute.
Well, that's nice. After we've taken the trouble to bring your buns for you.
If you two are still here after I've answered that phone, I'll have the police after you for breaking and entering. Now, clear off the pair of you.
Right. That does it. He's asked for it.
What are you going to do?
Pinch one of his buns.
Hello. Hello. Oh, it's you, Mrs. Butterworth. Oh, all right, then. Florrie. What time shall I pick you up tonight, then? 7:30. Right, it's a date, Florrie, love. Yes. Just a minute till I close, shut this door.
Hey, it sounds like he's making a date with her.
I know, they're going out together. He's taking her to that country club near the gasworks.
How do you know?
I heard him tell her when they were snogging in our bushes.
Snogging? What, Mrs. Butterworth and old Iggy?
Yeah.
Get away, his wife, and never stand for the go. Oh, hey, she's away in Wigan, isn't she?
Yeah. It's funny him taking Florrie out like that. Ozzy says he never takes Mrs. Higginbottom anywhere. He said the only time his dad took his mum to the country was to pick potatoes at 2 bob an hour.
You see, this is different. I know Higginbottom's sort. I had an uncle just like him. My auntie had to go away for a few days, and when she got back, she found that my uncle had met an old girlfriend, and he'd gone off with her to live in...
What?
Yeah, Huddersfield, I think.
Well, Alfie, now we've tidied up the front room, what shall we do next? I mean about the tennis club annual meeting. You did say it was tomorrow night.
Well, that's what the chairman told me on Friday. Give us a kiss.
Look, I'm club secretary and I've got to get everything ready. Where did I put those minutes?
Oh, never mind those minutes. Just give me a few minutes.
Stop it, will you?
Sorry to disturb you two, but I've come for the rent.
What rent? What are you talking about?
Well, my granddad has let you have this room for 5 bob an hour to snog in, hasn't he?
Oh, get out, will you? Get out.
You know, miss, you not only look like like my sister Susan, but you've got a rotten temper like her as well.
What are you talking about? She is your sister.
And you, sir. You're the living image of my sister's daft boyfriend, Alfie Hall.
I am a daft boyfriend, you twit. I mean, she's Susan and I'm me. Yeah, Alfie. We're not somebody else.
But you can't be Susan and Alfie, because right now Susan and Alfie are at a tennis club meeting.
The meeting isn't until tomorrow.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, Wednesday.
So will you just clear out and... Alfie!
What?
Today's Wednesday.
Is it? Well, fancy that, because that's the day they're having the tennis club...
That's what you want, a club round your nut.
Oh, Susan, I'm sorry.
We should have been there at 7. It's 10 past now. I'm going upstairs to get ready.
Right, Susan. Oh, she's mad at me again.
Well, never mind, Alfie. Come in the living room. We'll play a good game I've just thought of.
What's that?
Well, you hide half a crown in my trouser pocket, and if I find it, it's mine.
Well, it's nice of you to lend me this handbag, Pat. It'll just go right with my costume.
Oh, not at all, Florrie. I must say, you look very smart. Oh, he'll fall for you, whoever he is.
It must be a heavy date, all right. Can we be expecting to hear wedding bells soon, Florrie?
Perhaps, if I don't drop a clanger. Oh, hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Mrs. Butterworth. Hey, you look smart. For a minute, I thought it was that lady we were watching on your telly last night. The one all dressed up.
Oh, you mean Katie Boyle?
No, Mrs. Shufflewick.
Well, I fell for that all right. Oh, and how are you, Mr. Hall?
Oh, I'm all right, Lady Shufflewick. Olive oil. Is it all? Katie, Butterworth.
Is something the matter with him, Jimmy?
Yeah, he's in the doghouse with our Susan. So if your boyfriend lets you down tonight, I think Alfie might be going spare.
No, I don't think there's much danger of me being jilted. Well, he seems to think the world of me, strange though it may seem. Well, I must be off. Thanks again, Pat. I'll let myself out.
Bye-bye, Florrie. Have a nice evening.
Enjoy yourself.
I will. Cheerio.
Ta-ra, Duchess.
Well, what about that? I've never seen her dressed up to the nines like that before.
You're right, Pat. Whoever this fellow is, he's certainly made an impression on Florrie, all right. I wonder who he is.
Don't you know? It's Mr. Higginbottom.
Now, Jimmy, you've been warned about telling lies about Ozzy's father.
It's true, Mum. We heard him fixing a date for tonight with her, didn't we, Alfie?
Yeah. You what, Jimmy?
Isn't Mr. Higginbottom picking Florrie Butterworth up at 7:30 and taking her to the country club?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. While the cat's away, the big rat's playing about with Mrs. Burrywither.
Now, don't start thinking the worst before you're sure. If people don't look for scandal, they won't see any. I believe in minding my own business.
I believe in minding my own business. That's what me grandad said, Alfie.
Yeah, I know that.
If people don't look for scandal, they won't see any. And there he is at the window, with his eyes popping out like gobstoppers.
What was that, Jimmy?
I said, I think I'll pop out for some gobstoppers.
Oh, don't be silly. The shops are closed.
Here's your tea, Father.
Just leave it on the table, Pat, thanks.
If you want to have your tea, Grandad, I'll stand guard at the window.
You keep away from that window, they'll think we're spying on them.
Well, we are, aren't we?
But your mother doesn't want them to think we're a lot of nosy parkers.
So we just have one nosy parker, me Grandad.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that.
My. Higginbottom certainly got himself dolled up to take Florrie out. He's wearing his new cap and a navy blue blazer.
What, no trousers?
Oh, you're a lad, you are. Well, I must see what Florrie's wearing.
I'll go and get you the camera, Mum. Then you can sell pictures to the neighbours.
Don't you be cheeky.
Well, why is it they'll only think we're spying if I look?
What's happening, Mr. Sinclair?
Higgy's helping Florrie into the taxi. He's holding her arm.
Well, what do you expect him to hold her foot?
Well, I wouldn't have believed it, but there they are in the taxi.
It just shows you. They're barefaced about it. I mean, they don't know who might be watching them.
I know. All the grown-ups in the street will be watching them. Well, they're telling the kids, keep away from the window and don't be nosy.
all right, funny boy. I just wanted to be sure that you were telling the truth, and I think it's disgusting.
What, me telling the truth?
No, that's a miracle. Your granddad means it's disgusting, a married man going off with another woman.
Oh, yeah, you mean like your uncle? Alfie's uncle went out with another woman when his wife was away, didn't he, Alfie?
Yes, but...
Alfie, you shouldn't tell Jimmy things like that.
Oh, I can keep a secret, ma'am. He went away to live in...
That'll do.
How dare you tell him about that, Alfie?
But I didn't. I just...
What's wrong with living in Huddersfield?
It's not that. My uncle was a married man.
Well, aren't there any married men in Huddersfield?
Look, son, when a man is married, he can't just, well, change his wife for another woman.
No, not unless he's a film star.
He's got you there, Pat.
It's all right if you get a divorce from a judge.
Well, perhaps Mr. Higginbottom's got one. He was up for speeding last week. He might have got a divorce at the same time to save two journeys.
Oh, son, you've got a lot to learn.
So has Mrs. Higginbottom. Hey, if Mr. Higginbottom marries Mrs. Butterworth, will Ozzy have to change his name to Butterbottom?
Stop shaking, he'll have me back off its stand.
And now we proudly present Tunnup Clitheroe, the world's champion Wall of Death rider.
Oh, look, stop turning the handlebars about. I'm trying to tighten a nut.
Oh, hey, what a sight. A spanner with a loose nut at both ends. Hey, Alfie, when the fair was here, the Wall of Death rider had a monkey on the pillion.
So what?
Well, how about you teaming up with me?
Oh, shut up.
Hey, here comes Florrie Butterworth, Higginbottom's dream girl. Although with her curlers in, she looks more like a nightmare.
Hello there, you two. Hey, what have you been doing with your motorbike, Alfie? Mending it?
No, milking it.
Oh, you are cheeky.
Mrs. Butterworth, when you get married... Remember, I like wedding cake and I'm very good at parties. I know lots of games.
Oh, yes, like at my birthday. Fireman's knock. Every time he opened the door, he squirted you with his water pistol.
Now you're jumping the gun. I'm not even engaged yet. Anyway, I can't stop here chatting. I came to see your mother. I'll go round the back. But if we do decide to name the day, you're all invited to a party.
When Mrs. Higginbottom finds out what's going on, they won't be hearing wedding bells. It'll be the funeral march. Hey, I wouldn't like to be Mrs. Butterworth.
I should think not. The vicar would have a right laugh. Marrying you and Higginbottom. Hey, talking about laughing, our Susan's face has just come round the corner.
Oh, has it? Shut up, you. There's nothing funny about Susan's face, and don't you forget it.
I wish I could forget it. It haunts me.
I've warned you, you'll get a clout.
Hello, what's the trouble with my cheeky brother now?
Nothing. Alfie was just talking about you.
Yeah, but well, I mean, not talking about you, just talking.
Yeah, about your face.
That's right.
He said it's no joke having a face like yours.
Exactly. No, I didn't. Look, I said it wasn't funny.
Having a face like hers.
Yes, no. He's twisting me words, Susan.
I know. He wants his neck twisting. Anyway, ignore him, Alfie. Was that Mrs. Butterworth going round the back?
Yes, she's gone to see your mother.
Well, I don't know how she dare show her face, the way people are talking.
Well, you show yours and Alfie talks about...
Yeah, shut up. Who's talking about her, Susan?
Well, only 5 minutes ago, Mrs. Billington was on about her.
Beaky Billington? Oh, she can talk with her nose. You can't see her face for the shadow from a hooter.
Keep quiet. She wasn't talking about Mrs. Butterworth's face. It was about her going out with Mr. Higginbottom. Mrs. Billington saw them coming out of the country club the other night with their arms around each other, all lovey-dovey. Well, of course, it'll be all round the town now.
Oh, you're not kidding. Here is the 9 o'clock scandal, and this is Parrot Conk spreading it.
Yeah, you've got some up there.
Don't laugh, Alfie. He thinks he's funny enough. Anyway, I'd better get in the house and have a wash.
Right on, Mucky Neck, get off.
Look, cut it out. I'll come in as soon as I fix this nut.
Try hitting him with a hammer. See you later.
Oh, very good. Alfie, you've got one there. She's a witty little...
A witty little what?
I'm not sure. I think she's a girl.
No. Why don't you keep quiet?
If I had done, Scragging Neck wouldn't have had any news to tell you. Beaky Billington didn't even know it was Mr. Higginbottom with Florrie Butterworth. It was too dark to see.
How did she find out?
I told her. She was talking to the vicar and said, Mrs. Butterworth seems to have got a new man friend. I said, it's Mr. Higginbottom. He's not new, he's second hand.
I don't know about Beaky, you're the scandal monger. Get up now, watch what you say, Mrs. Butterworth coming back.
Me? You're the blabbermouth who blurts things out. You nearly called her Jezebel yesterday because me grandad said it.
I did not, and the name is Jezebel.
Hello, Mrs. Butterworth, you didn't stay long.
No, because nobody asked me to. Your mother and grandad seem in a very funny mood. They hardly spoke. Neither did Susan. Have you upset them or something?
Me? No. But somebody has, haven't they, Alfie?
Yes.
Who?
You have. I mean, I think, well, maybe, unless it was me.
Look, what do you mean?
I'll tell you. They're cross with you because he's married.
Who?
Your boyfriend. And you can't blame him. I mean, well, it's not right, is it, taking another woman's husband?
Another woman's husband? What do you think I am?
What's that word, Alfie?
A Jezebel. Oh. No, but you said... I didn't say it. Mr. Sinclair did. I mean, he was...
Oh, did he? Now, look, where have you got this nonsense about my gentleman friend being married?
We know he is.
And he's no gentleman. His son's as old as Jimmy.
His son?
Yeah, and you can't have a son if you're not married, can you, Alfie?
No. Well, I mean, of course you can't, but no.
But Mr. Higginbottom assured me he was single.
Well, Higginbottom's a liar. He's married.
And Alfie'll tell him, won't you?
Yes, I will. No, I won't.
No, but I will. I'll do more than tell him. I'm going round to his house now and he'll feel the weight of my hand. And after that, I'll deal with the other one.
Hey, Alfie, she's going to clout Ozzy as well. Grandad, you're a pal of Higginbottom's. You could take us round to see the fight.
I'm no friend of that woman chaser anymore.
But she's chasing him now. Probably with a frying pan.
Look, you're not going anywhere near that man's house.
But anyway, she'll have knocked him out by now. I mean, the way she looked when she dashed off.
Well, we might get there in time to see a clout Ozzy.
Look, nobody's taking you because nobody wants to see a fight.
Only a savage would stand and watch somebody being hurt.
Mother, it's Mrs. Butterworth and Mr. Higginbottom.
Never mind the introductions. Let me get my hands on him. There you are, you little brat.
Alfie, Mr. Higginbottom wants you.
What do you want?
Shut up, stupid. You little troublemaker. Come here.
Take your hands off him, Higginbottom.
What's the idea of bursting in like this?
Now, calm yourself, Higgy. Calm down.
I'm sorry, Mrs., but I warned this son of yours... About spreading lies about me?
All right. Please explain what all this is about, but quietly.
Well, Jimmy told me that my gentleman friend was married.
So he is. I know Mr. Higginbottom's married. Ozzy told me.
How does Ozzy know? Was he at the wedding? I mean... why should he tell you?
Well, it's not a secret, is it? They've been married years. Before Ozzy was even born.
Florrie, will you explain?
Well, I've been going out with Mr. Higginbottom's boss. And you're Jimmy and Alfie.
His boss? But he took you to the country club.
Yeah, well, we heard you making the date.
I took her to meet my boss. But according to Ozzy and Mrs. Billington and the vicar, I've been carrying on with Florrie here. And that brat told them. And I'm going to belt the living daylights out of him.
Help anybody!
No, stop it, Mr. Higginbottom.
Yes, if there's any punishing to do, I'll do it.
Well, start with Alfie and then hit yourself. You said she was a disgrace when you two were spying on them from the window.
Oh, so you've all been at it, have you?
Really, Peter, and you, Pat?
Now, just a minute. Well, we understood that,
We heard that you'd made a date, so naturally we when we happened to see you getting into his taxi...
Happened to see them?
Shut up! Yes, we just presumed it was true.
Yeah, and that's what I did. Presumed, I mean, not Luke, because I didn't want to be a nosy Parker, because we had one. I mean...
Look, we made a dreadful mistake and we're very sorry.
Yes, we're very sorry.
Well, now they said they're sorry, let's all forget it and have a cup of tea.
Not on your life.
Oh, I shouldn't have said tea. You have a brown ale.
Look, none of this would have started but for a little scandalmonger here. That's where the suspicions came from.
Now, Iggy, they've all made mistakes and they've apologised, so let's forget it.
Well, I'm willing to forget it for one.
He hasn't apologised yet.
Hiya, jollipies, hiya, jollipies, hiya, jollipies.
Yeah, you see, he's a jolliper, a pillager, a jollipie. He said he's sorry, and so am I.
Mr. Higginbottom, you're wanted on the phone.
Me? Oh, right. I wonder who wants me.
It's probably the zoo.
That'll do. You just think yourself lucky that you got away with this.
Yes, my lad. And I hope you'll learn to keep your mouth shut in the future.
Yeah, and I'll keep my ears shut when he talks to me.
It'll still go in through the hole in your head.
Oh, Jimmy, you're incorrigible.
That does it. That's the last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Hello, he's got the hump again.
What is it now?
That was the wife. She's come home with her brother. And she's waiting for me with a rolling pin. And he's got his Australian boomerang.
What for?
To clobber me. Because Ozzy wrote and said I was getting a divorce and marrying Florrie.
Well, fancy that.
Yes. And guess who told him to write? You!
Help! Grandad, you don't
come
want
here.
To see a fight.
Mom, I'll have your guts for garters. Come here. I'll tear your limb from... He's gone. But I'll catch him sometime.
If me grandad's going to the fish shop, I'll have 2 fish cakes and 6 penneth. Keep it in the oven till I get back.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan, with Molly Sugden as Florrie Butterworth and Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
Oh, what a night. I hung about for 2 hours. My fish cakes were dried up to nothing by the time Wild Bill Higginbottom left. It just shows how mad he was. He didn't leave our house till the pub had been open for an hour. Grandad said another 10 minutes and the landlord would have sent out a search party. Ta-ra!
Thank you.